show set.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing okay.
You doing good?
I'm fine. Everything's gonna be fine. Yeah. No, man, we're doing okay on this end. Yeah, things are going great. It's you know, starting to tick up here for kind of a not quite fall, but kind of fall season. You know, football season in gear, and folks are you know, pulling their pipe out, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We've had a whole bunch of mail orders that have kind of started to flood in this time of year, which is pretty normal, kind of getting into September, October. And, man, you know, as I mentioned last week on the show, our boy Quinn, who kind of quarterbacks all of our mail orders nowadays, he has been out on paternity leave, but thank goodness he is back. Man, that is just so, so wonderful. Now all the packages will go out on time and be properly assembled and professionally packaged and all that kind of stuff. But, man, we're just running and gunning, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, things here are going well. Actually, man, I've been, getting in touch with my roots these last couple of days.
Really?
Last night we roasted a duck for roast duck on kind of a Sunday dinner type situation, but it wasn't just for the Sunday dinner. It's because I've been working on this duck oyster gumbo recipe that I'm trying to like perfect, right?
I was like, how does this connect with your roots? And I'm thinking like, yeah, you know, Yorkist England, and I don't know.
No. More recent
that's
roots.
That's good. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
good.
Modern roots, my friend. Yeah, so I've been working on this gumbo. I've actually been boiling up the carcass all morning, and just started, actually got the roux all ready, and basically the gumbo is simmering as we are recording now. So I'm looking forward to checking up on it as soon as we get off mic. But
so I'm assuming your house smells really pleasant when you boil a duck carcass. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, like any kind of like broth that you make does kind of give a nice a general pleasant smell, because anybody, and which is good because it counterbalances the smell of roux, which if anybody's ever made a gumbo from scratch, you know, you are eventually rewarded with a delicious smell, but you certainly don't start with a delicious smell.
You kind of have to, yeah, it takes you a while to get to that point, huh?
Exactly. So, yeah, man.
That's funny. Wow.
Just cooking up a storm here and, yeah, doing well, man.
That's great.
I'm excited because, you know, we've got, you know, I feel like the last few weeks or so, we've had some of those obscure holidays that are really great. Like, for example, we had Hobbit Day a couple weeks ago. We had Talk Like a Pirate Day. Like, Talk With a Pirate, Like a Pirate Day and Hobbit Day are basically back to back. Has anybody noticed this? Like,
that's dangerous. That's an overlapping of a lot of nerddom there that's really really potent.
Absolutely crazy. Doesn't make any sense. Like, this, you gotta spread this around. You know, we can't party this hard all at once.
I know, right?
But anyway. You know, as I was personally celebrating Hobbit Day, I was excited for this big announcement we have coming up. Now, we can't announce it today, of course. We can't announce it today, but
right,
we got a big announcement that's coming next week, I think.
A precious announcement.
I mean, like,
it's gonna be great.
Yeah, no, I don't want to give it. I don't want to give anything away. I'm just saying that, you know, it's Hobbit Day. I was thinking, oh, it's Hobbit Day, and then I was thinking about this thing we got that we're about to announce next week, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
And it's precious. It's very precious. It's very precious to us. All right, there we go. That's the tease. Everybody's put it together by now.
It's like, man, what kind of lame thing have they got cooked up, you know? And just wait, you'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. You probably already have figured it out, but if not, you'll find out next week. So we're really super excited. Next week, you will not want to miss that episode. We got something fun to share with you. All right. We also need to give a major shout out this week, man. We got three new squires joining the Country Squire Radio International.
Wow, three this week. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. So, and actually, one of these I'll go ahead and mention up front, because this is somebody who's been a member of the club for quite some time, but just recently went from Pilgrim to Squire. And that is listener Dan. So, Dan, thank you so much for increasing your support of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going from Pilgrim to full Squire. I think that's awesome, man. We really appreciate that, brother. All right, so we got some new Squire members as well. Joining at the Squire level, man, we've got Matthew Snyder.
Matthew Snyder, thanks for hopping in, dude. We're so thankful to have you at the Squire level on the International Country Squire Pipe Club. That's great.
Yes, sir. And also joining at the Squire level, you might call him the barber, but we just call him Floyd. Adam Floyd! Because Floyd the Barber, that was from...
What? How does that connect at all? I don't understand.
Oh, come on, man. That's like, that's old
school. What is Floyd the Barber?
And
what are you talking about? I'm not...
The Andy Griffith Show. That's what I'm trying to think of.
I'm not picking up any of this. Okay.
I mean, like, it's before our time, but that's classic TV, man. That's Gumby. That's Gumby era TV.
Gumby era.
You should know that.
Now you're talking my language. Yeah.
That's right, man.
Oh, that's hilarious. Man, Adam and Matthew, thanks for hopping in on the man on the club. And Dan, man, jumping to the next level. We sure do appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm excited, man. We're kind of re-entering kind of a series that we started relatively recently, a new-ish entry into the Country Squire Radio suite of series that you get from the show. And that is a new product spotlight. Now, we never could come up with like a really good fancy name for the series. And it's to my chagrin. You know, I like it. I like it when we have alliteration. I like it when it's kind of punny. And this one just is kind of calling a duck a duck, which is fine because I'm cooking duck gumbo right now.
Because you're boiling one, yeah.
That's right, man. But no, we're doing our new product spotlight. This is where we take a look at a new product. Now, this could literally be anything. We could be talking about a new tamper. We could be talking about a new pipe. We could be talking about a new accessory. We could be talking about anything. Like, anything that kind of falls under the wheelhouse of folks that listen to the show you might find interest in. But, man, as you might expect here from Country Squire Radio, we got a brand new pipe tobacco that we're going to be talking about this week. John David, now, this is interesting to me. I was under the impression that they didn't make new pipe tobaccos these days.
Yeah, they do. They sure do. I know. It's one of those things people are like, oh, you know, everything's just kind of warmed over and there's nothing new under the sun in the pipe world. And man, hogwash. There's always something fun and new and interesting in the pipe world. Man, so we're going to feature one of these things today and have a little fun with it and do a little history lesson and product review. It'll be good. But yeah, today we're talking about Mac Baron's 2021 release of HH Rustica. Man, HH Rustica, this is the second year they've done this, and it is just a really fascinating tobacco that deserves its own episode, deserves its own place in your cellar and in your rotation, and you really just need to smoke this because just out of principle, really, as a tobacco enthusiast, like people just need to experience what the Rustica blend tastes like because it's just different. It's just something different and interesting. It certainly will expand your palate. It'll force your palate to experience new tastes and parts of the flavor wheel, but it's just an interesting tobacco that has plenty to talk about.
All right, well, let's first start off by talking about who's making it here. Mac Baron. Now, if you are somebody who is kind of newish into the pipe tobacco world, my guess is you don't have to be that new to have recognized the branding and the name of Mac Baron. So yeah, give us like a quick, brief, like very lightning fast overview of Mac Baron for the newer pipe smoker.
Yeah, Danish company, one of the more historic blenders, certainly in Denmark, but in the whole in all of pipedom, they really have become one of the more high quality blending houses in the world. Certainly, of all the tobacconists or the pipe tobacco manufacturers that are left, Mac Baron just has this kind of mystique about it. There's a glossiness to it. There's it's got a classy feel to it. Mac Baron is just kind of stands alone as far as their own products and packaging and how they do stuff, the sophistication of their blends. They're just kind of at the top. They really are, certainly among the things that are readily available and mass market. And so, yeah, I mean, Mac Baron has been around a long time, and they have an HH line of tobaccos, which are in honor, we have talked about before, of Heinrich Hallberg, that they came out with years ago. These are some of their more premier tobacco blends. We've talked about HH Old Dark Fired before, which is this incredibly interesting blend, a very strong blend, featuring Dark Fire Kentucky tobacco that is, of course, very popular right now. And really, in some ways, Old Dark Fired, I feel like the HH Old Dark Fired really kind of kicked off the popularity of that particular tobacco type. And so kind of interesting there. We've also talked about HH Pure Virginia, which I'm a big fanboy of. If you've heard me mention that one, along with two or three other tobaccos as part of my regular rotation, because they're just always found in my pipe at some point or another. And so, you know, we have those as favorites of Country Squire Radio. And the HH line, again, they kind of feature their more premium tobaccos. They're, you know, very nuanced blends, super sophisticated, typically, you know, a lot of flake tobaccos in this range. And then they also are hot pressed a lot of times. And that hot pressing, you know, anytime we introduce temperature, age, or pressure to a tobacco, it really does make the natural sugar content of the leaf transform, and it just becomes a much more well-rounded, well-developed product to, you know, to consume. So yeah, this is fun. It's their newest HH blend, and they did this last year, 2020, and it was a different release. This year's 2021 release they have come out with, and it's just something to really get excited about. So yeah, HH Rustica, again, they're breaking ground here with a whole new set of ingredients. And frankly, it's kind of new to the pipe world, the modern pipe world in general. What makes this interesting? Well, the main base component of this particular tobacco is a plant that is different from all other pipe tobaccos that we know and love today. And it is the Nicotiana Rustica tobacco. The Nicotiana tabacum plant that we're, you know, so familiar with is a species that's cultivated in a variety of stripes that kind of creates the favorite blends that we know and love. But there's this very old cousin to the Nicotiana tabacum, and it's this Nicotiana rustica that is this leaf that played a very important role in early pipe tobacco cultivation and usage and the development of pipe tobacco, the development of the popularity of premium tobacco over in the Western world. And so there's this rustica plant that's not very popular anymore. It's not used very much anymore, but certainly played a very major role in the early development of Western tobacco usage. It's a plant that's native to South America and originally cultivated by Europeans as far north as North America. So we even saw this in the American South, certainly in the Caribbean. Nicotiana rustica, it's also known occasionally as Aztec tobacco or wild tobacco. It's, you know, something that was really kind of the mainstay of the tobacco world up until, you know, around the late 18th century when the Nicotiana tabacum that we know and love today kind of took over the market because of its smoking qualities. But Nicotiana rustica was used by indigenous Americans for generations as sacred medicine. It was a ceremonial plant. This is something that they cultivated for usage, but it also was part of their cultural identity and is still used in some contexts in that today. The rustica variety is very powerful. This is a very, very powerful iteration of tobacco plant. It's harsh. It contains up to 100 times the nicotine content of the Nicotiana tabacum, and so it's just very strong. And in some ways, it's kind of closer to like a cigar leaf. You know, you've kind of got this tobacco that's just very strong. You approach it kind of a different way, and it's just different. And so, you know, it was overtaken by the tobaccum variety a couple centuries ago because of some of these features. You know, it just it's not quite as smooth, not quite as approachable. And, you know, eventually, as growing and curing practices developed, the tobaccum plant kind of won out due to these less harsh, more aromatic characteristics, which just makes it a little more accessible to the smoker and their sensibilities. So anyway, so you've got this rustica plant that's basically unused in the modern tobacco world, but has, you know, kind of had a monopoly on the first couple hundred years of Western tobacco usage, except in some Native American applications. It's not really used anymore, but, you know, the folks at Mac Baron, they are always up for a challenge. They always, of course, they have the access to, you know, some of the most premium ingredients in all of pipedom and Per Jensen, their excellent blender who, of course, has come out with so many hits over the years. He took this as kind of a challenge to use this particular leaf to create something that is accessible to the pipe smoker that, you know, certainly is going to be strong because of the nature of this tobacco, but also is approachable and something that the pipe smoker that doesn't smoke a lot of heavy blends could still occasionally smoke and enjoy and finds well-rounded. And something that doesn't make you go crazy after you smoke it or light you on fire or make you see purple elephants or anything else, you know. So it was kind of a challenge, you know. It was something that he wanted to produce in a this limited edition tobacco that could be enjoyed by the modern pipe smoker. And so so H.H. Rustica was born. This took many iterations over years. You could imagine working with really a different plant. I mean, think about it. It's a different plant than the tobacco plant that we know and love as pipe smokers today. It's a different type of plant. And so it took years to kind of get this right. The experimentation that went into it was prolific, went through just countless iterations of this. And they blended this distinctive leaf with, they wound up having to kind of round it out with some other ingredients, like some darker Virginia varietals and also some burley, to create this very approachable blend. It's still strong, obviously. It's still full and rich and deep, but it's but it is an approachable blend for the pipe smoker and something that is very smokable and very enjoyable. H.H. Rustica was born, and the 2021 release, they came out with 5,300 tins of this tobacco, and we just today put the allotment that we got on our website. And so as you're listening to this, we'll still have some in stock because we got a whole bunch of it, and snatch it up at either with us or your favorite online retailer. There's a bunch of other you know, great tobacconists that got a hold of this stuff as well. Anyway, excited to have it. So H.H. Rustica.
You know, it's a gorgeous little tin, very handsome. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it just solid black, or do you still have some of that, you know, there's always that Mac Baron in the HH series. You got a little bit of a texture going on in the background.
Yeah, there's just a little bit. It's like, it's almost like a watermark that they've put on there of the Mac Baron crest or seal that's kind of in the background. And so the two lions kind of holding up the family shield or whatever that is kind of in the background. And so there's a watermark of that that's just delicately behind the very handsome Rustica hot pressed flake pipe tobacco moniker. So it's a classy looking tin, man. No one really. I mean, nowadays, you know, no one does it better than Mac Baron. They're when you buy it, you almost feel like you're getting a gift, you know, or something. It's just very, very impressive.
No, very, real. Like I said, very, very handsome tin. I got to ask, and you know, I hope one of the best values that I add to the show is the dumb questions that I ask.
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Well, so like I know what pressed tobacco is, but this one's hot pressed.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, I'm like. And I mean, like, I guess, you know, probably obvious answer is probably obvious, but all right, you know, I'm going to say it anyway. John David, what's the difference between pressed and hot pressed?
Well, the hot pressed tobaccos are more attractive people doing the pressing. And so,
that kind of hot.
Right.
Okay.
And so it's just hot.
Wait, well, yeah. But they didn't call. John David, they didn't call.
Well, I know they didn't call. But no, they did. They did call, but I think your phone was busy at that moment, or maybe your secretary said you would get back with them and you never did. And so,
okay.
But maybe next go around, Bo, you know?
Okay. All right. All right. No, but for real though.
Hot pressed tobacco. They actually introduce heat into the tobacco while the pressing is going on. And so you'll typically have some type of metal conducting the heat that goes, you know, that's congruent to the tobacco. And the tobacco is exposed to these rising temperatures along with the pressure, which just adds that extra element of flavor transformation throughout the process. So, you know, we talk about that kind of trifecta of things that can really amp up the flavor profile of a pipe tobacco, and that is pressure, time, and heat. And so those things, you know, as they work together in conjunction with one another, they really can make this transformative experience. You'll remember when we went to the Perique farm years ago at Mark Ryan's place down there at the La Poche factory. These barrels are sitting in this sweltering, humid Louisiana swamp, basically, you know, and that heat combined with that pressure of those railroad jacks, you know, pushing down these big wooden blocks into these whiskey barrels full of the Perique varietal plant there, you know, it just creates this kind of magical transformation in the tobacco. And so that's kind of, you know, it's similar at least to what's going on here with the Mac Baron hot pressed tobacco. So yeah, kind of cool.
Okay, well, I don't feel as stupid as I thought.
No, you shouldn't. Yeah, no, it's a great question, and maybe they'll call next time. That'd be great.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a It's a square tin. It's a 3.5 ounce square tin. The square tin is interesting to me because you've really seen a lot of manufacturers ditch the square tin. And I have mixed feelings about this because the square tin is so perfect for flake tobacco. There's just something really pleasing about getting that square tin of pipe tobacco and it being just a perfect little capsule to put a flake tobacco inside of. You open it up and it's just very, very neat and very clean. And there's something about that square tin for a flake tobacco that's just incredibly attractive. But a lot of manufacturers have actually left the square tin behind. And, you know, when they first started doing that, you know, the word on the street is they were doing that because it was something about, you know, needing more real estate on the top of the tin for warning labels that were coming out by the government or something. They said, well, you know, to fit the warning labels required, you have to have a round tin or something like that. People would say that. But I don't know that that's really the case. I think some folks just kind of switched over to the round tin, even for flake tobaccos, because at some point it was probably just more economical and that, you know, probably made sense. But Mac Baren has stuck with the square tin for many of their flake tobaccos. You've also seen this in other other brands and lines they put out, the St. Bruno flake, the Capstan flakes that they produce, and so they, you know, just make these square tins, which are for some, you know, tobacco enthusiasts are a little polarizing. Square tins, one thing they're bad about is popping open before you mean to open them. And so just by temperature changes or if they get jostled or dropped, some square tins are just more prone to open than others, than the round tins. But some folks, though, they really do love them and they do feel nice in your hand. They store very easily and are just, you know, just handsome to look at. So yeah, they still have the square tin, which is really nice. When you pop this tobacco open, you're met immediately with the Mac Baren gold foil that surrounds the flake tobacco. And before you even smell, you just kind of see this beautiful gold foil that Mac Baren is known for. And, you know, since McClelland went out of business and we all, you know, lament that, there's really, like we said earlier, there's really no other tobacco brand that you kind of just feel when you open a can of Mac Baren, similar to when you did many McClelland tobaccos, you just kind of feel like you're opening a gift, like something precious and special and premium. It's like, you know, holding the key to a Mercedes as opposed to a Hyundai or something. The Hyundai's nice and it's great and it's, you know, great product, but there's something about that Mercedes key that just feels a little more premium. You know, not that I've ever held one, but you know, there's just a little panache to that that's very pleasant. And so Mac Baren, when you open or met with that gold foil, it's just really, really sharp. It's interesting. Before you unfold the gold foil, you are met with this deep barbecue smell. And it's a smell that we typically associate with Latakia, right? We had that Latakia, that peaty, rich barbecue aroma that we sense there, but this is a deeper, more charred, authentic flavor. It's a charred meat kind of flavor, which is just very, very interesting to me. And it's almost like, you know, Latakia, but more beefy or meaty. It's just, it really is interesting. And I just really, even if you're not a non-aromatic smoker, I would just recommend you get a hand on one of these tins just to kind of see the different tobacco that they're using here. But it has, because of that kind of charred aroma, it almost has some characteristics of Kentucky dark fired leaf that's there too. So it's really, really interesting. You open the tin up, kind of fold the gold foil back, and you're met with these milk chocolate brown with little stripe, little golden stripes kind of running through them, very neat flakes. And it's just very attractive to look at. A beautiful tobacco. It's something that obviously a lot of time has gone into producing this tobacco, not just to be tasty, but also to be beautiful just to look at. It's just very, very pleasant to look at. And again, that meaty aroma, it's just fascinating. The flake is moist to the touch. You know, for some people, it would probably be best to, you know, maybe tear some of this apart and let it let it sit for a little bit. I've got a couple of customers that smoke this type of tobacco regularly, and they typically will, you know, tear the entire can apart and then put it back in the tin and let it sit for a while just to let it air out. You know, one thing that flake tobaccos are great at is holding moisture. They keep that moisture in there because of their characteristic, the flake nature. You know, but if you kind of tear it apart and let it air out, some people like their tobacco a little drier, and so that could help. It is a moist flake. It packs easy, though. Even after minimal drying, it really does pack easily. And I've kind of gotten with this particular blend where I enjoy I wouldn't call it a cannonball pack method, but it's kind of where I just take a flake and kind of smush it up into a ball, more or less, not packing it like I do traditional ribbon cut pipe tobacco or even cube cut tobacco or anything like that. I'm kind of just taking this flake and smushing it into a little ball and then loading it in my pipe. And that seems to do really well as far as that. It's only one of the only tobaccos I think I've ever really done that with, or at least on a consistent basis. Not sure how long these tins have been aging in Denmark at the MacBaren factory, but there is a beautiful sugary sheen on the top of these tobacco flakes. And so there's just really nice kind of crystals that are starting to form on the top of these flakes. And you can tell, like, you know, they've been sitting for some period of time for this to happen. It makes a difference as far as the approachability of the pipe tobacco. Lights easily enough for a flake. Tobacco is one of those things where, you know, with a lot of flakes, you really can, you know, have trouble either getting it lit or keeping it lit. It's certainly not, you know, a very easy tobacco to handle, particularly if you're new to flakes or, you know, tobaccos of this type. But it's, certainly no harder than other flake tobaccos that you've come across. So it's robust and smoldery. This Rustica tobacco just has this very interesting, you know, meaty flavor that is it's a roasted flavor. It reminds me of chorizo. It's got this just very strange meatiness that is hard to describe without trying it, and it's just very unique for the tobacco world. And so, man, something that's really fun and different to smoke, and kind of pushes your palate a little bit while you're smoking it. You get interesting nuances that you associate more with brighter flavors, but it is coming with this dark, deep, very strong tobacco. And so it's really neat. There's a low note of natural sweetness that is very unexpected in this tobacco. Again, that is something that you might associate more with like a bright leaf, one of these flue-cured tobaccos that dances and plays more in that kind of realm of natural sugar. But with this, it's this low note. It's kind of, playing on the very back end of the smoldery, charred, you know, roasted meat flavor. And it's very unexpected, and it just works. It's really, really neat. And then also there's a Virginia grassiness that kind of comes in, undergirds the whole experience. And so, again, this is a tobacco. The Rustica plant was blended in this case, of course, with some Virginias and some Burley. And so there is a, you know, I don't know what's exactly at play here because I'm just not super familiar with the Rustica leaf. Probably Per Jensen, who blended this blend, is the world's foremost expert in this particular type of leaf after this really cool project that he did. But most of us don't have any experience with it at all. So I don't really know, you know, if that Virginia grassiness or the breadiness that's there, you know, if those are coming from the Burleys and Virginias, or if that's an attachment of or a extension of the Rustica plant itself. But man, is it just really good. And, you know, after you read so much about this tobacco, how strong it is and how bold it is and how much nicotine it's got and all this kind of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a very strong tobacco. It's meaty and bold, but also it just has a strength to it that, you know, makes you sit down and catch your breath occasionally. You know, but after reading so much about how strong this tobacco is, it's very approachable. It's very smokable. It's something that, you know, it's like a very sippable, high alcohol content whiskey. That's just, you know, it's strong, but man, I could sip this, and it, you know, it's very, very approachable. And so it's kind of surprising in that way. It's really, Really nice. Something I haven't done with this particular tobacco yet is tried to blend it with other varietals or condiment tobaccos just to see what would happen. You know, I haven't put this yet with Latakia or Perique or some of my favorite Virginias that we tend to work with at the shop. You know, I haven't done that yet, and I look forward to doing that. I think, you know, it'll be kind of neat to tinker with. Not that I could ever really do it on a big scale, but, you know, just something fun that I could do and maybe experiment with a little bit. If you keep this tobacco, you know, relatively dry, if you try to dry it out just a little bit before you load your pipe, that'll serve you well with as far as trying to keep this tobacco lit. It's got a moisture content that's relatively high, and so certainly right out of the can. And these tins, of course, they just were released. We just got them a few days ago. And so, you know, these are fresh tins. It burns to a really nice fine powder if you kind of just let it dry just a little bit and then smoke it really slow. Anyway, great tobacco. I really enjoyed it. It's something that, you know, the room note, you know, what you would expect as far as the room note goes. It's very bold and you know, not particularly inviting, but it is not necessarily unpleasant room note. It's not, for me, like old Joe Krantz from Cornell and Deal. I like when someone smokes that, I'm like, man, I just kind of want to leave, you know.
Clears the room.
And it's certainly a distinctive room note here, but it's not kind of in that vein. So it's very tolerable. Anyway, really good. I'm looking forward to going through this tin and smoking it, but I'm also going to put one back. This has so much potential to, in a couple of years, just really, as it mellows and marries up even more, I think this tobacco is going to really shine. And so anyway, I'm going to smoke through this tin here, and then I've got one that will get jarred up, and I'll revisit it in a couple of years in September of, I guess that'd be 2023. But man, really looking forward to it, and I highly encourage y'all to smoke it. Just very different, very interesting, and leave it to Mac Barron to experiment with something that no one else has and hasn't really in, you know, 200 or 300 years. And it's just a different varietal that's really tasty. And I think they've done a good job.
It's awesome, man. Well, good deal. You know, the great thing is Mac Barron has been at it for quite some time. So there's a level of trust. And as I think you did a really great job of painting a picture of a bold tobacco that you should not be afraid of. Like it shouldn't intimidate the pipe smoker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, because that's kind of how I see it. It is a bold tobacco that you shouldn't be afraid of. You have to go into it knowing, okay, it's probably a good idea to eat something, but, you know, it's not like you're getting on a roller coaster or something. I mean, this is something that you can do, that you should be prepared for and are, man, can do. It's not something that you have to be, scared to light up. So put it in one of your Virginia pipes or even an English blend pipe. If you really want the pure flavor, smoke it in a meerschaum or a clay. I think you'll enjoy it. It's something that'll push you and will help you appreciate pipe tobacco that much more.
Well, one of the great things is if you are looking to get that great pure smoking experience, we've got the people that know all about that, and that's our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is. Yeah, this week we're talking about the Dagner Poker Corncob Pipe. It's become, over the past several years, one of the best-selling corncob pipes on the market and highly sought after. It's just a very high-quality pipe that occasionally is hard to get, but it's in stock right now if you go to corncobpipe.com. Okay. The Dagner Poker, it's just a very handsome, kind of dark finish poker. The stem comes out at just a little bit of an angle, and there's a really handsome metal band on it that pairs up with the unfiltered acrylic bit, Italian acrylic bit that's there. And so just a really nice pipe. It's a shorter pipe, something that's got a generous bowl size, but fits easily into your pocket. You can tote it with you and always have it around. So check it out. Retails for under $30 at corncobpipe.com. If you go there, they'll ship it right to your front door. Of course, they've got all kinds of other tobaccos and accessories and different gift packs and stuff that you can check out there as well. But man, go check it out.
There you go. And thanks to Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming in from Jody.
What's up? What's up, Jody?
Jody's both my grandmother and my niece's name. I don't think this is them. Okay. I think this is Joe, and then D is, all right, sorry. All right, here's what Joe had to say.
Oh, man.
I really agree with what you've said about how pipe smoking taste changes as we work our way down the bowl, because if I understood your point of the gradual heating that is happening to the tobacco that is still below the burning point, it makes sense that as the proportions change lower in the bowl, the smoke would, quote, dry out or become more harsh, or that one of the components might stick out more as the steaming tastes that used to mask it are reduced. Great insight. Can you relate this to how people select different size or shape of bowls for different types of blends? Personally, I just use my Cobbs for a rare aromatic smoke, and my briars are mostly cylindrical billiards and Canadians rather than the pots or conical shaped bowls through which I smoke Virginias, Virginia Periques, and English mixtures. And that is from Joe D. So talking about the shape of the bowl in relation to that kind of the way in which the taste of the smoke goes as you go down the bowl.
Yeah, and you know, I don't get as much of that. I used to try to, you know, pick out the nuances of that experience. You know, well, you get this kind of taste if you're smoking a conical bowl as it is to, you know, something that's more of a scooped out pot shape or something. To me, the shape of the bowl, where it plays a real importance, is on the type of cut that you're smoking. I do think some tobaccos smoke better, you know, like Virginia's, for instance, a taller, more narrow bowl where there's less oxygen that's being exposed to the very top of the bowl, the chamber there. Those seem to work better for me for Virginias and Virginia Periques. How those light and stay lit makes more sense to me. It seems like English mixtures tend to do better with a little wider bowl, and so you see that a lot, particularly if it's a thicker cut. I think that's kind of what I'm getting around to in a circular way, is the cut to me is more important than the how the tobacco is going to taste. It's just better, you know, if you have a chunkier tobacco, something that's got a cube cut or a thicker chopped varietal, those seem to go better in a wider, more shallow bowl. And a lot of English mixtures are like that. You know, a lot of the best-selling English mixtures that are out there, you see that with kind of a chunkier cut, particularly those darker leaves that are in those tobaccos. And so I smoke those out of a lot of, you know, wider Princes and pot-shaped pipes that seem to do better with that. Virginia tobaccos, again, those taller, more cylindrical bowls. You seem to be a sucker for a billiard, you know, Canadian, something that's got that kind of classic, normal classic shape to it. Yeah. And so, you know, and I am too. I mean, if you listen to a long time, you know that's my wheelhouse. You know, it's kind of shameful if you look at my pipe collection, just how many billiards and variants of the billiard are in there. And it's way too many, but there's a reason I like them. I just think they handle well. The types of tobaccos I tend to smoke that load well in those bowls, and a lot of times that's flake tobacco or a finer ribbon cut, not quite a shag. Hope that helps. It's, you know, I don't really get a lot of difference from the bowl size as far as how it tastes. I do think certain cuts of tobacco though burn easier and are easier to keep lit. It burn easier and are easier to keep lit in certain chamber shapes, and that's where the difference comes in for me. I think that's why a lot of people select those types of bowls. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Jody, love the way that you're thinking. That makes I think logic behind the question makes sense. But hopefully that kind of puts things in a little bit of perspective there for you. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send it into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right. Quick fire question. Ow. All right, man. Pastor Joda has sent in some quick fire questions. Pastor Joda is like on it, man. He's always good about sending in some good quick fire questions. And inspired by the recent Talk Like a Pirate Day, he has sent in a Talk Like a Pirate edition of quick fire questions. Man, I can't wait to meet Pastor Joda at some point. I have a feeling he and I are going to have a ton in common.
I know, right, man. No, he's become a dear part of our Country Squire Radio family. So, man, thanks for these great questions.
That's right. All right, are you ready for this?
Yep.
I mean, let me try this. Are matey, you be ready for these questions that I'm about to lay at your feet?
Yes.
Or that is to say that your foot and your peg leg, if we're going pure on.
If you keep talking this way, I'm going to walk the plank, okay?
All right. All right, here we go. For greeting, ahoy, me hearty, or aye, matey.
I gotta go with oi matey. I don't me hearty. That's just a little too much. I don't think I could pull it off.
You know. All right. So you know, back in the day, I used to be a pretty prolific gamer on a game called Sea of Thieves. I talked about this on the show. I was, I had a little something of a character that I would do while I was playing that game and doing a little stream and that sort of deal. And I think when I was boarding a ship, either to negotiate terms or to threaten them and steal all their stuff, I think I did say, ahoy me hearties, quite a few times. So I think I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, that's fair. That's great.
Exclamation, blow me down or shiver me timbers.
Oh, shiver me timbers, man. 10 times out of 10.
That 100%. Yeah,
it's so iconic. Yeah, you got to go with that. I don't know what it means. I'm thinking like timbers are like maybe the timber used to build the ship or something. And I don't know, but shiver me timbers for sure.
All right. Alcohol, grog or clap of thunder?
This is the first time I've ever heard the phrase clap o' thunder. So I kind of want to know what that's about. So I'll go with that.
See, you're going in blind on that one.
I am. Grog, that, that's a known quantity. I'll go with the devil I don't know rather than the devil I know.
I'm going to go with grog. You know, I've been trying to kind of come up with a historic grog based solution that is not terrible.
It's kind of like what Mac Baron did with the Nicotiana Rustica. They're like, well, this is not, you know, historically that good to smoke, but we're going to make it good to smoke.
How do we make? Yeah, exactly. How do you kind of keep to the history, but also maybe, figure out a way to, you know,
make it consumable. Yeah.
Something like that. But anyway, so yeah, I'm going to go with grog.
Okay.
I'm going to go with grog. Threat. Are you going to keel haul ya or send ya to Davy Jones' locker?
You got to go to Davy Jones' locker, right? That whole reference is just perfect.
You know, I've threatened many a pirate in my time, and I do think Davy Jones has been evoked many a time, so I'm going to go with that one as well. Although I will threaten the old keel haul, which is a horrible, horrible way to die, by the way. Do you know what that process involves?
I'll have to Google it some other time.
No, it is awful. They strap you and they run you across the bottom of the ship so that the barnacles tear apart your skin.
Yeah,
and they have to do it a couple times in order to, you know, to finish the job. It's awful. Oh, you don't want to be keel hauled, y'all. You don't want to be keel hauled. It'll send you to Davy Jones' locker eventually. All right, insult. A scallywag or a landlubber?
Scallywag. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So if I want to insult somebody as a pirate, I'm going to go with landlubber.
Uh-huh.
However, scallywag has kind of an interesting history to it, as being kind of especially like, you know, white Southerners that were, you know, that were kind of early abolitionists were kind of called scallywags.
Oh, you so know, I think I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
So
that
I think was, there's, yeah. Yeah. I like scallywag as kind of like appropriating that term as like a, you know, like a badge of honor to some extent for a pirate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like a bump in the system. So I like Scott. So if I want to insult somebody, you be a landlubber, lad. You be a dirty landlubber. And then farewell, cast off, or fair winds.
I would say fair winds. That sounds great. It's a little more poetic, I think.
Cast off, ye lads. Raise anchor. Let's cast off. I think we're going to cast off. Man, these were awesome.
Yeah,
thank you, Pastor
fun.
Jonah.
That was fun. I didn't know it was Talk Like a Pirate Day on September 19th. So that's that's great. And I learned something.
I celebrated as one is supposed to.
I'm sure you did.
I live every day like it's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah, you pretty much do. Yeah. They've got your suite waiting on you at our local institution here. Whenever you're ready.
All right, lads, and if you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send them into the show at countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback, man. That's right. That's a hard pivot back to Bo. This first one's coming in from listener Scott. Now, Scott actually wrote in asking the question about chopping up cigars and smoking them. Yeah. He wanted to give his feedback. Now, he has done the research. He has busted open the lab. He has gone to places so that others need not. And he writes back with this very simple follow-up. Yes, I tried it. Yes, it was immediately horrible. No, I will never do it again. So, Scott, glad you're still with us, brother.
You remember when we did our one of our McClelland episodes that got all that feedback and stuff? But I'll never forget Russ, our dear friend Russ, was talking on one of those episodes about how he had tried to put vinegar on pipe tobacco to kind of simulate the McClelland, whatever they were putting on their tobacco to give it that tang. And Russ very explicitly said on that episode, he said, I've tried to put vinegar on pipe tobacco and it tastes like vinegar on pipe tobacco and it's awful. And I think of that occasionally. I'm like, Russ was right. He was like, it's just awful. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you tried it. You won't do it again. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Props for, props for the attempt. Good job, Scott. Yeah. All right. Next up is, Dave. It does take courage. I think I've made this reference before, but like Scott, you now list your name up there with the great, men and women of science who brought us things like the potato. Yes, discovering that a potato is edible. Somebody dug up this brown thing in the ground and thought, you know what? I'm going to eat this. And if that person hadn't done that, we would never know that you could eat a potato. Now, everybody looked at him like he was crazy. And that's you, Scott. But we look at you not as though you're crazy now. We pity your taste buds, but we're
thankful for you, brother.
Absolutely. All right, man. This next one is from Dave J. in Phoenix. He says, I have known people to smoke cigar tobacco in a pipe. This person measured his bowl in ring size, brought a second grade cigar, cut it bowl depth, and smoked it in his pipe. Not as a habit, but as an occasional different thing to smoke. So there you go. Dave J. also has somebody who has walked the line, so to speak.
Yep. And again, we talked about that. I forget the context, but, cigars are just, they're meant to be consumed in that shape. And so if you're chopping up cigars, and then putting them in your pipe, it's probably going to be a different experience than, it will be if you finish a cigar, for instance, in your pipe. Those folks that, take the butt of a cigar, put it, as they're, getting kind of close to their fingertips and they still want to finish that cigar, putting it in your pipe and then smoking it that way. That's a little different bit of an experience there. And so, maybe it's not something you want to do all the time, but, go for it and change it up, occasionally. I've never particularly enjoyed it myself. It's just, when I go into a pipe, I think of something different than a cigar, and the two don't really mix for me as well. But, some people do that. So that's great.
Yeah, to each their own. And then finally, we've got an iTunes review in from Dharma Druid. You want to see what Dharma said?
Yeah. Tobacchanalian revelry. What?
Tobacchanalian revelry?
Tobacchanalian.
Tobacchanalian. Revelries, man. It's revelries. Yeah, revelries.
Dharma Druid, man. He says, I always enjoy the banter between Bo and John David, as well as the helpful information about all things tobacco pipes. Their enthusiastic presentation is inspiring and educational and provides sagacious guidance through the hazy, smoke-filled netherworlds of pipe smoking. Tally-ho with the Tobacchanalian revelry. That's from Dharma Druid. I don't know if I've ever been described as sagacious, and I am honored.
Yeah, I mean, like, I gotta tell you, man, that kind of makes up for the fact, like, today we learned about this brand new hot pressed pipe tobacco that required smoldering hotness.
Yeah,
and I was not called, I felt like, smoldering hotness. I feel like they should have called. I should have at least been
on
asked,
the short list, right?
I wasn't asked, and so so to be called sagacious. Well, that ain't nothing, son. Like, I'll take it.
That's fantastic. I'm glad I can put that. That's a feather in my cap. That's great.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll take all the feathers we can get. So if you head over to iTunes and write us a review, it's a great way to increase the feathers, the plumage of John David's hat. Also, if you'd like to help support the show, do so at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. It's a great way to support the show and keeps us on the air, as so to speak. Also, you can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow the show at Squire Radio. You can follow the shop at _countrysquire. You can follow John David at John David Cole. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com.
You got it out, man. I'm proud of you.
You know, I'm a professional. I have to remember that, man. Sometimes, but I am a professional. All right, brother. Hey, this is awesome. Always great to shine the spotlight on a new product and let folks know what's out there.
Yeah, man, I had fun.
Absolutely. Hey, big announcement coming next week. But until then, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.